The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the MadTech Podcast, where we dive deep into a paramount topic that's impacting the digital and marketing landscape. My name is Lindsay Roundtree and I'm COO of ExchangeWire. And today, the topic is digital transformation. And I want to know, in an industry which is constantly changing and getting more complex and more competitive, who's calling the shots? Is the power dynamic shifting? And whose responsibility is it to shape the future of digital advertising? To help me on this journey, I am delighted to introduce my guests to this discussion, Karan Singh from Microsoft Advertising, Simon Peel from Halion, and Michelle Hobbs from Publicis Media, who will be sharing their insights and opinions on the evolving consumer expectations on advertisers for better online experiences, the critical need for strong relationships and collaborations across the supply chain, the ongoing importance of privacy, security, and transparency, the opportunity for ad tech to thrive beyond the big dominators, and the continued drive for sustainability, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the future of digital advertising. I'm really looking forward to this discussion. So on to introductions. Karan, I'm going to start with you, please. Could you introduce yourself?
Hey, hi, Lindsay. My name is Karan. I look after our global advertiser partnerships at Microsoft Advertising.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Simon, on to you next.
Hello, I'm Simon. I'm the global head of media at Halion, which is the consumer healthcare brand company spun out from GSK last year.
Excellent. And last but no means least, Michelle.
Hi, guys. I'm Michelle, and I'm the global media lead for Halion over at the Publicis Group.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Some real heavy hitting people on this discussion. It's a huge topic. There's lots to discuss around it. And I want to basically bring in an overarching theme for us to reflect on, for us to think about kind of as we discuss this. And it ties in with what I said before. You know, it really is kind of who's calling the shots, whose responsibility is it to really own transformation and take control of it? What are the shifting roles for advertisers, for agencies, for technology suppliers within the industry? And what impact is this having on the broader digital programmatic landscape and the growth of the landscape in 2023 and into 2024 and beyond? So I want to start around the topic of customer-centric advertising, because I think that what we can all agree upon is that the consumer, the customer, the person, the human behind any ad that we display has been somewhat neglected over the decades of programmatic advertising and is now becoming a really, really important part of everything that we do. With that, the realization of that is finally with us. And I want to understand kind of how digital transformation impacts the customer experience and how does the goal of meeting consumer demands impact your digital transformation strategies. Simon, obviously, as the marketer in the room, I want to come to you first and kind of get an understanding from where that sits with you.
Well, I think digital transformation might be slightly outdated in terms of like its meaning.
Interesting.
I think, you know, like companies, large companies at least, probably about 10 years ago, they all went through these sort of digital transformations. We all got these ridiculous consultants in who sold us, you know, a digital model, which then didn't work. And then we got another consultant in that sold us another digital transformation. But I think, luckily, I think we're at the end of that. Most companies have gone through those various transitions. But I do agree with you, like the idea that people and consumers in particular have been forgotten in a lot of this is probably true. I think as marketers, we're quite obsessed with technology and, you know, like everyone says, marketers love a shiny new thing. We're all a bunch of magpies, basically. And I think that's probably true with digital transformation. However, saying that, there is a lot within, certainly within advertising, that has needed addressing over the last few years, but probably the last 10 years as well. And I'd argue that in the programmatic space, in sort of desktop and mobile advertising, that's been quite an important area for us to address. And that's why we're here today talking with Publicis and with Microsoft, because we're looking, as an advertiser, we're quite keen on having quite a transparent model. We want our model to be as effective as possible, and we want the consumer experience of our ads not to be really bloody annoying. which arguably they've been over the last, you know, number of years. So I think we're through the worst of digital transformations. I mean, I'm sure McKinsey will be back in soon, but telling the AI transformation, no doubt. But before they do, I think, you know, we're in a good spot, and it is really thanks to partnerships with the likes of Michelle and Karen with Publicis and Microsoft.
That's interesting. And so, so Karen and Michelle, I want your thoughts on this as well, kind of from where you're sitting in the industry, obviously working closely with the likes of Simon at Haleon. How do you think that the consumer, the person has affected how you work with brands? Because that must be a bigger factor than maybe it was before in terms of your measurement strategies, in terms of your communication strategies. How has that transformed? Michelle, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, sure. I mean, my background is a strategist, so I've actually been championing the importance of consumers and consumer-centric advertising for years, actually. And I think, funny, Simon should mention McKinsey, because I saw a good stat. I think it was from a 2021 report with McKinsey that 71% of consumers expect companies to deliver personalized interactions, and 76% get frustrated when it doesn't happen. So I think that's quite interesting, because it would appear that there is an openness to a certain amount of data exchange if what the consumer's receiving back is deemed useful and relevant. And I think that's the key, right? To Simon's point, the last thing in the world is that we want to be seen as annoying. But I think it's interesting that you do have a large percentage of people who are open to it, which I think sometimes conversations in this space, we to kind of quickly assume that people will always find us annoying. Now, in terms of how, you know, like we go about that, like there's lots of different ways we can do that. You know, if we've got access to first party data, that's sometimes not so easy actually in the sector we work in, you know, we can create, you know, great bespoke, personalized communication that's, you know, properly right person, you know, right time, right message. And that's great. So, you know, a lot of the time we have to work in an imperfect world there, you know, without that kind of data. And I think sometimes that personalization is a bit harder to achieve, you know, to get that right and to make sure that we are relevant. But this is why partnerships, you know, with Microsoft and other technology partners are really key, I would say, in helping us to do that and ensure that we are relevant and not annoying.
And so, Karan, there's been a big conversation around partnerships and the importance of partnerships and how that really has kind of cemented the journey of digital transformation, a phrase that Simon, I think, is hoping will be gone very soon. But kind of where do Microsoft fit into this? Where do you fit into this? And kind of what role do you play in ensuring that, you know, we are meeting the consumer demands, that which ultimately should be the ultimate goal of kind of any advertising campaign we run?
Yeah, so I think we've gone full circle and back to a world of, like, you know, that whole piece around, you know, building relationships with consumers and right message, right place, right time. I never thought I'd be saying that in 2023, right? But we've gone through the digital transformation that, like, led us, you know, within programmatic to the point where I guess the point Simon was making around the shiny new thing was all these data points and being able to predict when consumers needed a certain product and be there right at that moment, and probably overstepping the line from being kind of well-meaning and well-targeted to slightly intrusive, especially when you look at products like, you know, consumer healthcare. You know, you don't want to be the brand when you've got an ailment that it feels creepy that the brand knows you'd have it, as opposed to, when I do have an ailment, you're the first brand I reach for, which is kind of where I think we want to get to. And we've kind of gone back with, you know, deprecation of the third-party cookie. We're kind of like having that transformation back to where we were, which was like, well, how do we just build meaningful relationships with consumers? So how do we grab their attention and engagement are the kind of buzzwords again. And, you know, the likes of, you know, CTV platforms and Netflix starting advertising really kind of like added weight to that. So for me, as Microsoft, we are really just looking to facilitate that need and get us to a place where we do fulfill the need of the brands in terms of their measurements and, you know, reporting back to the business in terms of what their ad dollars are delivering. but also, you know, being able to build those relationships with consumers and that full suite of products that we've got, it's about just bringing those to the market and making sure that they're fit for purpose and, you know, collaborating with the likes of publicists and, you know, advertisers like Haleon give us a macro view of the needs of those kind of clients. And it's our job to really be facilitators of that.
And so I want to understand, you know, Simon, you just talked about the fact that it's a phrase that you hope is kind of is on its way out now. And actually kind of what you're trying to achieve is looking quite different. What does that look like then? Kind of what, if it's not digital transformation, what is the next phase of how you are going about doing your job in the best way you can do it and going about engaging publicists and Microsoft in helping you achieve those goals?
That's a good question. I think our main goal as an advertiser is to focus on effectiveness. Right? We want to know that the investments that we're making are having a positive impact on brand equity and sales, and that to be over the long and the short term as well. So we're working in a kind of an ecosystem that we need to navigate lots of pitfalls, lots of areas of opacity, particularly in digital and programmatic. You know, I think I was reading some stats the other day that digital next year, in terms of its meaning, you know, across TV, out of home, desktop, mobiles, is meant to be somewhere around 80% of total global media investment. And then programmatic, the way of buying it and selling it, is meant to be somewhere around 55 to 65%. So it's like a really important area to get right. And I think when we're focusing on effectiveness and driving those sales and brand equity, this is an area that we have to address. I think it was yesterday, so I'm not sure when the recording goes out, but yesterday, it's December at the moment, and yesterday the report from the ANA, so the Association of National Advertisers in the US, came out talking about the programmatic supply path. And there's quite a lot of interesting stats in that. You know, like firstly, on an average campaign in the US, an advertiser will use 44,000 websites, which is a bit bonkers. You know, I mean, like, I struggle to name 100 websites, so the fact that there's 44,000 is kind of crazy. There's also stuff about opacity within the supply path. So for instance, advertisers now, according to the ANA, should be having direct partnerships with supply side platforms. So, you know, the last 10 years, a lot of advertisers have done deals with demand side platforms so that they can get transparency in the buy. But now it's really important to do so in the sell side as well. And the reason for that is that you've got a transparent approach, and then you can understand how much is going to the publisher and making sure that it's the right publisher as well, and then seeing the effect that that has on sales and brand uplift. So I think it's not, I mean, I'm kind of a bit dismissive of digital transformation because I think it is a bit of a silly phrase, but I think, you know, what Michelle was talking about, which is focusing on strategy and consumers, because that's what marketing and advertising is really about. You know, it's trying to grow your business by understanding consumer needs. So I think within this new realm, we're taking a lot of that thinking. That's the basis to the way that we want to do advertising, but also understanding that we operate in a place and an environment that is hugely sophisticated. There's a lot of vested interests involved in that, a lot of players and a lot of opacity. So we're trying to go at it thinking about effectiveness, but understanding that this sort of area needs to be addressed.
Just one of the things that I've seen that I think is maybe is digital transformation in one way, but it brands, to Simon's point, taking control of the supply side. It's not something that I saw, you know, two and a half years ago, but in the last, you know, year, 18 months, as a, you know, a tech partner that works across the buy and supply side, I've probably seen as many SSP RFIs as DSP RFIs from brands in the last year, 18 months, which is, we wouldn't have seen that before. And I think it's an understanding from brands that actually taking control of half of the ecosystem is not taking responsibility enough. It's actually looking at the whole ecosystem and how we can start to get a holistic view, because as a brand, you're here on one side and you've got consumers on the other side. And actually understanding the entirety of that supply chain is hugely important, in the same way that as a brand, you would understand your supply chain and the products you make, all the way from labeling down to the cost of the materials to distribution. It should be no different within the advertising. And that's something that I think has been a massive shifting trend that we've seen.
That is absolutely fascinating. And I'm surprised, but also not surprised at all by that as well. And it makes me the question I actually had, which this relates to even more, with Simon, from your perspective, and Michelle, I want to come to you from the kind of the strategic agency side as well. Does having to get more involved in the supply side of things make your job harder? Yes, you're getting more transparency, but having to have oversight of the entire supply chain and be involved in more conversations and have your finger in more pies, is that exciting for you? Is that a challenge? Is that good for transparency? Or is it just like, actually, I just wish it was back to when it was, when I just had one part to deal with and my life was easy?
Well, candidly, it's a pain in the ass. We've got so much more to think about nowadays, because you're looking at navigating all of that complexity. The important thing to add to this as well is that, you know, there's the opacity in the supply path often means that advertisers are paying more and publishers are getting less.
Yeah.
Because you don't like, and there are certain companies that have a very big vested interest in making sure that operates like that as well. And, you know, if I don't have a direct partnership, or Haleon and publicists don't have direct partnerships with the likes of Microsoft in the supply path, then SSPs are going to use other SSPs that are going to use other SSPs that are eventually going to get to the publisher. And, you know, if you're a marketer and you're talking about responsible marketing and the impact on sustainability and climate, there's a lot of carbon emissions that come from, you know, a very complex supply chain. So reducing that actually has a positive impact environmentally, but also it means that you can distribute to publishers that represent your brand values as well. So, you know, it is a real pain, but it's also part of the job. It's what we get paid to do. And I think with Michelle's help and her team, you know, we've really been able to sort of navigate in the right direction. So I think she and her team have probably put us maybe a little bit ahead of those advertisers that are running the RFIs that Karen just talked about, because it was part of the strategy 2 years ago. So, you know, fortunately, we've got great agency that's helping us.
I agree. Like, we've really made a big effort on this, right, in the last kind of 12 to 18 months. It's been a key part of Simon's strategy. You know, can't emphasize enough the shared responsibility of it, because you said, like, where does the responsibility lie? And for me, it's like entirely shared. If not, everyone has to be pulling in the same direction on this, I think. What it's done from us, you know, Simon kind of refers to it as a pain. I think what it has challenged us, right? And I think everyone has had to have a long, hard look at their practices in this area, how their staff in the agency are, their skill sets, their capabilities in this area. You know, like, we have had to upskill, you know, and really kind of, it's been a challenge to stay on top of this. So I think kind of part of the kind of pain is that, like, this is not something that, you know, we're able to sit back on, you know, and kind of just let roll. We've had to upskill. We've had to collaborate with, you know, lots of, you know, kind of tech vendors, you know, etc. And the space is changing and evolving so much. I think it's been very time consuming, you know, for agencies. And luckily, like Simon said, we've been on this journey with Haleon for quite a while in this space. And I think we have, you know, kind of, you know, for want of a better word, cleaned up a lot of stuff, to be honest, in the last year to 18 months. You know, big push on transparency and big push on quality of the media we've been buying as well. We all know how important attention is in advertising. You know, if people are not seeing your ads, you know, there's so much money that's being wasted there. So a lot of efforts in these areas. And then, not to mention, you talked before about performance as well, and having to kind of learn how to measure and optimize in this new world as well, has been another kind of minefield, I think, that we've all kind of tackled collaboratively this year.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned some challenges there, Michelle, and it's not easy for brands. Everything you mentioned there is a challenge for brands and their agency partners to have to try and to get to grips with and get on top of. But it's especially difficult for CPG, for companies like CPGs as well, because they haven't got access to that first party, the wealth of first party data that maybe retailers that they work with have. Mm. How does that, with the demise of things like third party cookies and the, you know, that's going to be happening at some point in 2024, how does that impact how you guys are able to work effectively? And, you know, you mentioned attention there, which is a huge topic of conversation and a huge opportunity as we see the demise of third-party cookies. Are there certain areas like that, I guess this is to all three of you really, that you're experiencing and you're seeing, where there's opportunity for the more challenged brands like CPGs to really get on top of, to be able to help grow in an environment where data is being basically kind of compromise left, right, and center?
I think so, slightly contentiously, I think that the first party data piece, there's a lot of brands that sit on first party data that think they have the silver bullet for the cookieless future that actually don't, right? So like for me, you know, having worked for data companies in the past, not all first party data is kind of created equal, right? If you're, you know, I remember speaking to a company that does hotel rooms essentially, right? A wealth of first party data, but they might have seen me when I was, I don't know, 17 booking my first kind of friend's holiday, and they might see me again when I'm 34 and booking a very different type of holiday. That first party data that they have, because of the frequency, isn't actually going to help them that much, right? As opposed to, you know, some retailers who see you every single week and they understand the patterns of behavior. So there's a lot of companies on first party data that don't know what to do, that are looking for a first party data strategy. Whereas I think, you know, when you look across the broader spectrum about what you can do, when you actually look at the longer term benefits of building a relationship with consumers, being a brand that they recognize, that is, you know, at the right touch points, can be so much more valuable. And actually the brands that have a strategy in place that kind of fixates around that, I think are going to be further ahead than, you know, some CPG brands are like, well, we need a D2C offering now, right? Mm-hmm. The truth is, like, who's going to go online and buy their toothpaste from, you know, whoever it is? I just don't see that as a viable
alternative. Excuse me, Karen.
Unless you're an alien and you want to buy this side directly, which I will definitely.
I do agree. I think the first party data sell is a load of bullshit. You know, I'd like, having worked at a large retailer that had a D2C channel and had 500 million plus first party data points, and having tried to activate it and knowing that it drove very little incremental value versus being in the right context at the right time, you know, running creative campaigns, standing out, making like famous campaigns. Like, those are things that make a big difference, not first party data. I think, you know, I'm sure the likes of Tesco or Walmart, maybe it's slightly different because the frequency of the purchase is quite different. But I do think the first part of data point, you know, like everyone chasing after it. The reason why people are chasing after it is because they want things to be the same, right? Like, they assume that the current model is the only model, whereas actually getting rid of cookies is a fantastic, I can't wait. I'm actually really excited by it. That's properly geeky. But I'm keen for it to happen because it means that we have to go direct to publishers, or we have to work with supply path vendors like Microsoft, that Michelle and her team can do the job of building really creative campaigns that stand out again and talking direct to publishers or partners again. So, you know, for me, there's two options with it, right? You can go deeper into the first party data approach and you can buy into certain vendors, first party, privacy safe options, which I personally think is a load of nonsense. I'm assuming there's an element of it that is worthwhile, but I think it's quite small. Right? Mm. You can go the other route, which is about understanding consumer need, understanding insights, being strategic, having really great creative campaigns and standing out. And that's the route that we're sort of tethering ourselves too.
Interesting. I want to take some of what you've said there and change tack slightly and get an understanding of when we're talking about, you know, the fact that you're delighted that the third party cookie is finally going to be gone, that does change the playing field quite a bit. It changes the landscape quite a bit in terms of what technology looks like. And for as long as, you know, we can remember from as programmatic existing, the industry has been dominated by certain technology suppliers, certain players in the industry. Are you seeing this as an opportunity for maybe the smaller, lesser known, the alternative technology suppliers to get a look in and provide new and exciting and interesting formats? Karen, I want to come to you first on this one. Obviously, working for somebody who's not in the big company names that we know and love, where do you see this going in terms of the dominance of the triopoly and them taking the majority of the ad spend? Is there now opportunity with the way that landscape has changed so much for other guys, the smaller guys, to get a look in?
Yeah, I think, like, I would love it, right, if, you know, overnight we switched over and there was much more kind of diversity of where the spend's going based on the strategy of the brands, right? And, you know, for a lot of brands, like, to be perfectly honest, that is where their money is best spent, right? It's, you know, they are looking for, you know, quick reach, and that's what they need. And maybe those ready-made supply chains work for them. What I do think is happening, and, you know, we can see it within Microsoft, right? It's an absolute giant of a company, but actually within the advertising space, it's still got a lot of space to grow. It's not to take all the money out of elsewhere. It's really just to create choice for both agencies and brands, right? Because I think that's where brands are potentially, or advertisers have been stifled, is feeling that they have to go down a certain route or another route. And not just with big companies like that, but, you know, there's loads of, like, really cool innovative stuff going on with tech vendors offering an end-to-end proposition in, like, the digital out-of-home space, where I think, you know, that beautiful cross-section between engagement and kind of, like, the programmatic buying efficiency can come to the fore. I think there's opportunities to diversify spend into those areas as well. So I do think there's a massive opportunity, but it is reliant on, you know, advertisers, you know, pushing that and really kind of, it's not going to happen by default.
I agree. I think we're starting to see a bit of this, actually. I think advertisers and marketers, you know, they're starting to rethink this a bit. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, noise, we won't go into, in the industry recently, right, about some big players. And I think that it's starting to make marketers question, like, rightly kind of question, you know, where their ad dollars going, you know, and like kind of dig into things a bit more. I mean, you know, there is so much variety out there. And I think that this is where, as agencies, we have to help the client to navigate this. So again, kind of back to our consumers again, you know, there's so many, if we want to think about ways that we want to deepen the relationship with consumers, integrate into their lives in deeper ways, you know, there's so many ways, you know, you can do that with partnerships, you know, with, you know, some of the smaller players, and they might be smaller in some instances, but you're still getting large reach, you know, and you're still, you're going to be delivering penetration and growth, you know, through these partnerships. For me, it's not a case of if you don't partner, you know, with the bigger players, you can't still deliver these things. So I think we're on the cusp of seeing a bit of a turn here. I do think it won't. I mean, we've been relying on certain platforms for some time now. So I don't think this is an overnight, you know, turn. I think it will take some time as people will, they'll run tests, experiments, they'll see what results, you know, they're getting from kind of other ways of doing things. And I think then slowly we'll kind of see some change.
Interesting. Simon, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'd say, again, the question was about independence and the opportunity that independents have, right? I think it's huge. I was reading this programmatic report by the ANA earlier today, and it's conspicuous who has contributed and who hasn't. Right. Microsoft have contributed to that. They provided transparency with the buy side and the sell side. There are a number of other DSPs that provided transparency on the buy side. There's a number of independents, I won't name them, but there's a number of independents that are helping the ANA with the supply side transparency. But there is the largest DSP in the world and the largest SSP in the world that hasn't contributed to this. The largest SSP in the world does not give advertisers a seat on its platform. And it says it does that because it doesn't want to release publishers as rates, right? Like they're saying they're protecting publishers. And yet every other independent SSP is able to do that. So why is that? So I do think that the big players that we've been partnering for a number of years, and I'm not saying that they're doing things wrong, and I'm not saying that you know, we wouldn't want to partner with them, but I think they need to change as well, because if they don't, their lunch is definitely going to get eaten by independents. And I would encourage more plurality within this space. You know, like I'm part of something called the World Federation of Advertisers, and they have a media charter. And, you know, to your listeners, if they haven't checked it out, they should, because it talks about all of this sort of stuff. It talks about independence being used. It talks about diversity of media, but also cutting out the long tail. It talks about sustainability. And this is all derived from taking this different approach, which is not necessarily just to carry on as we were, but to head in this new direction, which Publicis and Microsoft are helping us with.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the ANA report a couple of times there. And a big part of that, a big theme running through that, is specifically them encouraging advertisers to close the information gap between what their agency partners and their tech partners understand versus what the advertisers themselves understand, and take more of an active ownership of their media investments. Do you think that that kind of information and that kind of push will help this around kind of moving towards, you know, the independent opportunity?
I think I really do think it's kind of a case by case basis and what type of advertiser you are. I mean, to Karen's point, a lot of advertisers will continue on this route, you know, and they'll buy into the first party data thing, and then we're going to see more like people, you know, buying first party data, I would have thought. And that's fair enough. If that's the right strategy for your brand as an advertiser, then fair enough. I don't think it's right for us. You know, as a company, Haleon has a view that we need to be responsible. We need to be responsible marketers. Our brands need to reflect people's health needs. So we need to be incredibly cautious and trustworthy when it comes to their data. So that route may not be right for us. It might be right for other advertisers, but the way that we're going with Publicis, you know, this much more transparent approach, much more focused on quality, as Michelle said, on effectiveness as the outcome, that's the way that we're going. And I think that's a different route to, you know, continuing on as we have been.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's an interesting point. I want to shift tack again. I want to move on to when we talk about customer-centric marketing and meeting their expectations. We talked about privacy, we talked about transparency, you know, from an internal perspective, but also from a customer-facing perspective. I also want to understand within the realms of digital transformation, or however you are, you know, you want to term it or call it, how we are meeting those demands and those expectations kind of morally and ethically. Sustainability, D&I, huge topics of conversation. You know, we've discussed them at length on this podcast, at length at ATS events, at length kind of, you know, across the industry. And they're not things that people can turn a blind eye to anymore. There's so much conversation around wanting to make sure that investments are ethical, are sustainable, are diverse. You know, where does responsibility lie in efforts to clean up the supply chain, transparency within it, diversifying media plans, the teams working on those campaigns, measuring the social impact of messaging. There's so much within that. Where does responsibility lie for that? Who should be owning those relationships, those conversations? I know it's a big topic, a lot of stuff thrown in there, but obviously it's such an important topic. Where do you all sit on making sure that it applies across the entire supply chain? Michelle, I'm going to come to you first on this one.
Yeah, sure. I mean, honestly, short answer for me is responsibility lies with all of us, right? Like, we're not going to tackle this. It's such a huge and important topic. We absolutely all need to kind of be aligned, and we've all got each our responsibility in this area. So Haleon, as a client to work with, takes this area very seriously. I mean, these are things that, I mean, and not just Haleon has to do this, but these get reported up at a board level, right? Like what we're doing in this area, it isn't something that just sits, you know, below the surface that we tuck away. We report this up, you know, to our shareholders, you know, at the kind of highest level. So what that means for us is that, and it's great to be working, you know, with a client that's taking this so seriously, but it makes you up your game in this area, right? From an agency point of view, we have partnerships, you know, with a variety of vendors in this space and have developed over the last 12 to 18 months with the help of Simon as well, some really strong relationships in this area that have helped us to accelerate. And I'd say that the work that these partners do, like they're not only giving us access to a wide range of audiences, say to help us with our diversity, you know, or ensure ads, you know, a kind of being sustainable, etc. But their approach is quite holistic to diversification. So you'll see a post-campaign report and they've even broken down the people involved in the campaign, you know, to make it happen behind the scenes, you know, the production folks, you know, and what the diversity looked like there as well. So we get a fully kind of rounded picture, which I think is a really fantastic asset. And it shows how deeply, you know, like that this can sit, you know, and it's thought about at every stage in a process. So I think that, yeah, it lies with all of us, but like starts with the client ultimately kind of like challenging you and making sure, you know, that we are, you know, we're doing, you know, the best we can in this area.
I mean, Simon, I'll come to you next, but I'm interested as well in, so if it's the likes of Simon calling the shots and saying, right, we need this to happen because these are our goals when it comes to D&I, when it comes to sustainability, when it comes to, you know, the entire gap, run the gamut of it. How it then integrates with the goals of publicists and the goals of what was advertising. But Simon, come to you first, kind of, I, you know, Michelle just covered a lot of it there, but what for you as Haleon is important, where it sits, where responsibility lies and what your role kind of is within that?
Well, firstly, I think Michelle's been really kind to us, you know, saying the advertiser that's driven this. I mean, if you look at publicists' financial report, you'll see that DEI is one of the main KPIs that Artur is held against. You know, he is financially incentivized to get this right. So Publicis has been doing this for a number of years now. So WPP, I think Omnicom and Dentsu as well. So agencies have been leading the way on this. And the diversity within agencies tends to be much higher than it is in brands and advertisers. I think Haleon is really trying to address it. I think we're pretty decent actually in this area, but we have ambition to be much better. You know, we've got targets that we've set ourselves in terms of different levels of equality within our staff, within our partners, within advertising publishers, etc. So, you know, we take it really seriously. I'm just going to tell a quick anecdote, if that's all right. Earlier this
year,
I was talking to Jerry D'Angelo, who's the former head of global media at P&G, and he was telling me something that Mark Pritchard did a couple of years ago. So Mark Pritchard's the global CMO of P&G, and he basically, when he saw that there was this problem with DEI, and he went internally within his organization and said 10% of our investment is now going to go to DEI partners. And almost overnight, P&G were investing over 10%. And that may not sound like a lot, but it is a huge amount. You know, from Haleon, we were at like 3% a couple of years ago, 6.5% last year, 8-9% this year in terms of our spend. So it's improving and it will continue to improve. But it's not just advertisers, like, you know, P&G have really led the way on this. And so they need quite a lot of respect. But likewise, agencies have been at the forefront of this. So I think they need a lot of credit in this area.
I mean, absolutely. And Michelle, kind of come back to you kind of on where the agency sits within the, I guess, the D&I conversation of investment, like how you're helping advertisers. And Karan, this, I'll ask the same question to you as well, from the kind of the supply side as well as the buy side, how you are helping find the right media investments that are both diverse and sustainable and are kind of helping to not just broaden out kind of where an advertiser might find themselves in a kind of obviously brand safe but kind of different diverse environment, but that is ensuring that you are investing in new and up and coming types of publishers, new and up and coming content, how you guys are managing that against the needs of the brands that you work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have been, Simon's right, have a whole kind of team dedicated to working on this globally. And that has been in place for, you know, a long time now. So there's been a lot of investment in this area. The team are developing products continually. You know, we've tested quite a number of different products in the last year to kind of accelerate us in this area and kind of put us at the forefront and to ensure, because like not only did I say like Haleon obviously needs to report these things up to the board and we do too, absolutely. So I didn't want to do too much rah-rah in terms of Bubbliss's products or like name them, to be fair, and go into too much detail here. But to have a team kind of like dedicated in that area, and we have pioneered a number of these on Haleon as well. So to Simon's, you know, point, that they have been such an open and willing partner that wanted to kind of push in this space. So we have come to them, you know, kind of with beta products and given them the chance to kind of like test and learn and kind of grow with us. And I think it's important to recognize as well that not everything works all the time in this space either. You know, like we're kind of growing and learning, you know, kind of all the time as well here. But I think the intention is there, and Simon pointed out, you know, the spend shifts that we've seen over the last year, like we couldn't have done that without the whole business of Haleon kind of also getting behind things as well. So it's been a journey, you know, to get there, and you know, like I say, we bring in specialists in this area from publicists to work out to advise. But I think I said about upskilling earlier, and I think that it doesn't sit just with the specialists either. So it's not to contradict myself, but like we have the specialists, but I do think it's everybody's responsibility now to kind of upskill in this area as well. So I think that's an important thing from an agency point of view we need to do going to the next couple of years and make sure, you know, like that everyone is kind of well informed as well as to the best products and services we can offer.
Absolutely. And Karen, finally over to you on this and kind of what your thoughts are. I know certainly D&I is an area you're really, really involved with and focused with. How do you ensure from where Microsoft Advertising sits that the goals of the agencies and the publishers and the advertisers that you work with are met when it comes to sustainable solutions, when it comes to diverse solutions, when it comes to just everything more broadly, making sure that the money's going to the right places?
Yeah, so I think again, it comes down to shared responsibility, right? And we are, you know, especially in the legacy Xander now Microsoft Advertising world, we're facilitators of that, right? So it has to come down from the brand advertiser, and frankly, the brand has to give a shit, like actually give a shit, not just have it as a, you know, a tick box. We want to do some D&I. They need to drive that, a partner with the agency, because the media agency is exactly that. They know media better than any of us, and they know the sort of outlets that we want to partner with, and that we need to, I guess, get the advertiser's brand on. And then what we can do is provide that curation layer. So that's where we've really stepped in, is being able to curate those kind of niche media outlets, for example, into one deal, and you can buy against those. But it's, again, you know, examples like Haleon are great because there's an actual push behind it, and publicists are great in being that layer to help us, you know, ask us the right questions and push us as a tech vendor that they should be doing, to not just us, to any tech vendor that we're working with, around how do you actually get dollars onto it. But again, we see examples where, you know, brands might have it on the top line of their strategy, but actually, if the CPMs are higher on a, you know, an avatar on a publisher that gets you in front of those audiences versus something that performs and is slightly cheaper, you know, that's when the proof is in the pudding, right? And advertisers actually need to go for quality over cheap reach. And And that's not always the case. So there is this part, and I think we see it a bit, and it's again another contentious view, but it's from what I see in the market is, you know, we've seen a massive upweight this year in the amount of, you know, sustainability solutions, which is absolutely right. And there's a problem with that within advertising on that that we need to fix. But that's almost eaten into the D&I, you know, the vigor that was behind that. And it's almost like we only do one or the other. We can't give a shit about both equally. And that's where I think we need to address that balance. And some advertisers are getting it absolutely right and are asking the right questions and are treating them as separate things. And some advertisers are clearly, you know, trying to do this to tick boxes. And that's where the strategy and the execution starts to fall down, really, in my view.
That's really interesting. We are unfortunately out of time on this discussion, but it's been so interesting. And I think there's some really key salient points that come out of this are obviously digital transformation as a term needs to evolve. It's not really relevant anymore to kind of what we're existing in, but the key themes that exist within it, it's everyone's shared responsibility to get the most out of them. And the key themes coming out of all of you were transparency is super important. The consumer, the person behind the ad is super important. And DEI and sustainability are also going to be kind of maybe the bedrock of what we are trying to achieve over the next 3 to 5 years. But we can't just do one or the other, and we can't just make it a checkbox. We actually have to focus on all of it and focus it on everything together. And there's a role for everyone to play in that. Everyone agrees with that, hopefully.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me, Karen, Simon, and Michelle. This has been the Mad Tech Podcast. Thank you for listening.